Hey friends, and happy new year. It is Pam Fontas, and I am welcoming you back to episode 2 of the Beyond Limits and Labels podcast. So I don't know about you, but 2024 came in with a bang for me. I'm pretty sure in a matter of 24 hours, I felt every damn feeling of the human experience. It was vulnerable, it was joyful, it was heart-wrenching, it was all the things. But also, it reminded me that I did and I was exactly what I needed to be and do for me to achieve and get what I want in 2024. And this is what this episode is all about. It's about me helping you get what you want. So if you are sitting here feeling stuck on moving forward, if you're sitting here, the new year has started and you're like, seriously, I have this goal on my goals list again for the umpteenth time. If you're wondering why sometimes moving towards your goals can just feel miserable, if you're thinking, why do I change my mind with what I want all the time? Or if you're like, what is it that I even freaking really want? You are in the perfect place, my friend. I'm gonna give you some insights. I'm gonna give you takeaways. You might even wanna pull out a journal or a notepad. And of course, you can always circle back to this episode because I'm giving you actionables today, action items that you can take away with so that 2024 is finally the year when you're like, I did that. And I did that for me. And that felt really freaking good. And I'm proud of me. You feeling me? All right, let's dig in. Episode 2. All right, friends. How do we get what we want, or at least more of it? All right, let's dive into this. This episode is going to be more or less two parts because the first part, I'm going to share a little bit about me, and I'm sharing it in the hopes of it'll just help you understand when we get into part two and I actually give you some actionables, right? So that you're walking away today or you're getting to do some reflecting time after this episode and you're feeling much more confident that you know what you want, number one, because we talked about it last episode. Sometimes we just don't know, or we're confused, or we think we know what we want. So there's that. But then you know what you need to do and who you need to be to get those things for yourself in 2024 and of course, and beyond, because it's definitely not just a New Year's exercise. Okay. So let's chat first about me. Okay, I'm going to share a little bit here. And if you've been following me on social, if you read my most recent newsletter, I've been talking about three words. And these three words are going to take the wheel for me in 2024. And they are impact, love, and joy. I did not come up with these words overnight. We'll talk about how I landed on them. But these words are going to be really instrumental for me. They're going to ground me and they're going to help me a lot to make decisions and choices so that I can move towards what I want in a way that feels good for me, in a way that feels aligned with my own truth, because that's super important, okay? So now that I have these words, how do these words now help me get what I want in 2024? Well, these words are going to dictate daily actions that I take, behaviors that I choose to do. They are going to be how I've decided what my business goals are, what the plan is for 2024. They're helping me determine meaningful metrics for my business. Meaningful metrics. Ugh, I love doing that with myself, with clients. That will be a whole nother episode. But these words help me determine the behavior. They help me determine the actions, the things that I need to do to get what I want. All right. So what else these words are going to help determine is who I need to be, all right? Because yes, there's doing, there's going to be doing so that I get what I want, but there's also a woman who needs to be a certain woman and think certain things and believe certain things so that I can have what I want, all right? And this is often the work that I'd say we neglect the most, and it makes sense. I understand why we do, right? We live in a very productive, focused, we glorify the doing and the achievements and not necessarily the being, you know, and how we think and what we believe. So it makes sense that we miss out on this part, but it's super important. All right. So like I said, these words now are going to dictate what I'm going to do and who I need to be for both my life and for my business. All right. Now, the thing is also with these words, I need to now do an assessment on what's going to detract from me feeling this way. Right. And so what are the things that I've been doing that I need to let go of? Maybe it's actions, it's behaviors, it's relationships, people, I don't know, you know, but I need to take a look at that. And what are thoughts that aren't serving this Pam who wants more of impact, joy, and love in 2024? What thoughts do I need to let go of? What beliefs about myself, the world around me, do I need to let go of if I want more impact, more joy, more love, right? So these are the things that I'm working through to get what I want in 24. Now, we are going to detour and talk a little bit about, well, I wouldn't even call this a detour. I actually would say bullseye. It's right on point what we need to talk about. And that is the concept of vulnerability. So when I stepped back and I looked, I was like, oof, all right, these words are going to require me to be really vulnerable this year. Right. And really vulnerability, what am I talking about? I'm talking about taking risk. I'm talking about navigating unknown waters. I'm talking about, you know, living in uncertainty sometimes or doing things without knowing exactly what the outcome is. And my friend, I am going to guess, not even guess, I'm just going to say anything that you want, that you really want, that is so true for you, is going to require vulnerability. It's going to require risk, right? It's like anything worth it is going to require vulnerability, right? And so when I take a look at my three words, for example, let's take a look at them. Like, how does impact, joy, and love require Pam to be vulnerable? Well, okay, let's talk about impact. And impact is really a word that I'm leaning into when it comes to my professional life and my work, okay? Where is there risk for me to want to feel impactful? Well, there's risk in the fact that everything that I say or do in the way that I want to make impact isn't necessarily going to be positively received. It's not necessarily going to be applauded. It might maybe not work with some of my ideal clients and the women that I'm hoping to do more work with. I don't know. All right. Because, you know, to be impactful, often we got to get innovative, right? And try new things. And honestly, at the root of innovation is the fact that we need to be vulnerable and we need to take risk. There's no innovation when it comes to business, all right, if there's going to be no risk. Like, it's actually impossible. That just can't happen. So if I'm going to be innovative and try new things to make the impact that I want, well, I'm literally swimming in uncertainty and I'm swimming in unknown. So that, my friends, is how vulnerability feeds into that one. Now, this one might sound like a little bit of an easier one. Vulnerability in love. Well, that's kind of like part and parcel of the equation, right? If we are going to open ourselves up to love, be it in a partnership type way, be it love for family, friends, the more we open up, the reality is the more we risk potentially getting hurt. And that just is, you know, our capacity to love is equal to the pain that we will feel when there is loss of that individual, when maybe that individual gets sick, when there's an ending of some sort. It just is, right? So with love, I could choose to protect myself and not let love in the hopes of love hurting me less than it has in my past. I'm going to tell you, and I'm going to plead guilty, that I've been quite a good protector at different times in my life, all right? Especially when it comes to my personal life. I'll let love in pretty big ways when it comes with my friends and my family, and I'm game for maybe the hurt that comes with those losses, those potential losses. But on the flip side, for me, oh goodness, all right? I can walk around often with a shield because I know that loving hard can mean hurting a lot, right? And so it's, again, a risky, cough, cough, vulnerable choice that love and really risking and leaning in and doing what I need to do for it in 2024 is, again, another word that is just going to require me to be vulnerable. And honestly, I didn't just pick love in the partnership sense. I want more of it in all areas of my life. All right. So But again, it involves risk. Risk and joy. So you're like, well, where is the risk and joy? Well, what's really interesting is actually Brené Brown, which we're going to talk about a little bit more. She's kind of, I'd say, a leader in the personal growth and development field. But she says that joy is the most vulnerable of all human emotions, right? And it's often, like, you think, you know, when things feel like they're all really good, we wait for, well, when is the shoe going to drop? There's got to be something wrong. You know, if, you know, I've heard a lot of people say this, and I know I felt it myself, like, how can I be feeling happy when this is also going on in my life, right? Or this is also going on in the world. I shouldn't feel that way. I shouldn't feel joy with everything going on around me. Now, the thing is what if we can actually feel both? Or what if it just, life can be both, that we can lean into joy while all the other stuff is going on around us too? Because the reality is, yeah, I picked more joy for this year. I can't say, if I turn on the news and see what's going on in the world around me right now, that it makes me feel super joyous. No, but I'm going to decide that, yes, perhaps maybe I'll do what I can if I can help the things that are breaking my heart in the world, but I'm also really going to choose to lean into joy in different ways in my life. All right. So anyways, that was just a recap of the reality is vulnerability, risk, and uncertainty and unknown is more than likely something that you're going to honestly have to commit to if you want to get the things that you really want in your life. Right. And I don't think, friends, there is nothing, I don't think, that requires courage that isn't vulnerable, right? So think of the things that you really want, maybe with your business and your life, and they all have vulnerability to some degree. Like, I honestly dare you to think of something that you really, really want that doesn't require any risk, no risk at all. Like, it's just such a safe and certain path. And honestly, if you think about something, feel free to shoot me an email or connect with me online, because I'd love to know what that thing is. All right. What is that thing that's so worth it that apparently doesn't require any courage and vulnerability? I'd really like to know. All right. If you want to navigate this topic a little bit more, Brené Brown is definitely someone I'm going to suggest to take a listen to. She has a little show on Netflix, not an actual show. It's just like one episode. She does a talk, and that's on Netflix. She's got a podcast. So one of her TED Talks went viral years ago, and that's the one on vulnerability. And I'll link it here, actually. It's a really good one. And, you know, this woman talks all over the world. She has talked to military groups. She has gone into Fortune 500 companies. You know, yes, personal growth and studying vulnerability and shame is her wheelhouse. But again, I just share those examples because vulnerability exists everywhere, right? So I think the more comfortable that we can all get with things being uncertain and risky, the better leaders that we'll be, the better able we're to navigate our lives. And honestly, the better able we are to go after what we want, which is what we're talking about in this freaking episode. All right. So I'll link some of Brené Brown's work in the show notes below. We needed to chat about vulnerability, my friends, because I want you to be courageous and I want you to be brave with your life and I want you to get the things that you actually want. And we need to just get a little bit comfortable with being vulnerable, right? It's like, you've probably heard this before. Get comfortable with being uncomfortable. All right. I'm not here. This episode isn't get what you want with the click of your heels and, you know, overnight. That's not how it happens. We got to do the work. Okay, let's dig into the stuff that's going to help you reflect and put down on paper and get really clear on what you want and how you're going to get it in 2024. Okay, friends, my goal here is to really help you get clear on a want, a need, a goal, call it whatever you want, that is true for you, okay? And then also help you get there. The thing is, and I mentioned in the last episode, so many of us are going after things we actually don't ultimately want. We don't even know it till we get there sometimes, right? And that, honestly, it just breaks my heart. And it is a big reason why I do the work that I do. All right. So if you want to chase after the thing that actually is going to make you feel how you want to feel in this life and achieve it, listen in really carefully. This is often where we go wrong, so many of us. And there is zero guilt or shame that you need to feel around this, because there's so many people that still approach goal setting in this way, but there's a problem and you're going to see it really soon, really soon. So when we set out to achieve a goal, all right, be it in our personal or professional lives, we do it because we think it's ultimately going to make us feel a certain way, right? And it's ultimately going to make us feel in a positive way. Like, we're not setting out to achieve a goal because we're like, oh yeah, once I get there, life is going to be so hard. It's going to suck. I'm going to hate myself. Like, that's not why we set a goal in the first place, right? You're with me. We get that. We're going after a positive feeling state. That is what gets us motoring towards setting a goal for ourselves and wanting to achieve it, okay? Now, you're like, Pam, what's wrong with this? I set this goal because I want to feel a certain way. And I'm like, cool. So why can this mess you up? Why can this cause people to self-sabotage? Why can this cause people to feel like failures or not even achieve the goal? Why can doing things this way make the process of even working towards that goal so freaking miserable? All right. And also, why is doing it this way a reason why so many of us are going after things we don't even really want? And then we do things to try and get the goal that's maybe even hurtful to us, right? And it's because we have things backwards. And I'm going to get into that when I break down exactly what you need to do to get what you want in 2024 very soon. But I'm going to use an example on how things can go wrong, all right? And I'm going to use an example right now, and I'm going to give a warning first, is that I'm not here to judge this example. I am not here to judge if this is something that you want for yourself at all, okay? I'm just using this as an example on how it may not play out in the way that we want it to. I'm going to use this example because it's a really freaking common example. All right. And I mean, we brought up Brené Brown, so why not go there? But she will reaffirm over and over again that the biggest form of shame for women across the board would be when it comes to their bodies. Okay. So perhaps you're tuning in and you've got a goal around your body, and that's cool. I'm not here to take it away from you at all. You know, most definitely not. But let's look at this example, okay? The goal, someone has a list of goals, and on that goal list is, I want to lose X pounds. Of course, the thing is, you've maybe set out to lose X pounds because you're like, when I lose X pounds, I'm going to be confident, I'm going to be lovable, I'm going to feel desirable, and I'm going to feel successful, or insert any of the reasons why you want to lose said weight. And again, I want to highlight, this isn't me bashing weight loss here at all. This is me just using the example, okay? So what happens is, depending on how you navigate towards the goal, depending on, is the goal, you know, are we driving the shame bus here? Are we hating on ourselves? Are we starving ourselves? Are we doing all the things that just don't feel good to try and get to the goal, right? And so if that's the case, well, then the process is going to be miserable. And then I beg to offer, you know, to challenge with you is, if the process is miserable, why do we suddenly think when we get to the outcome, we're going to feel a certain way? But again, I want to just kind of state the obvious. How many times, and you've heard it before, it's like someone sets a goal, 10 pounds, and then it's not enough. And you know, this could happen with a professional goal. It could happen with anything. You know, you get to the goal, you achieve the goal, and you're like, fuck, pardon my language, freak, you know, I don't actually feel that way. Like, I don't feel more confident. You know, I don't feel more desirable or lovable. I don't feel more successful. Like, I don't feel the thing that I thought this was going to do. You know, I'll give a professional example, maybe if it lands better for you. You feel strongly that you want your promotion in the career that you're in the organization you're in. Okay. You want that promotion. You want that job title. You want that corner desk. I don't know what it is, but you want that. You want to move towards that. Again, nothing wrong with the goal, right? But you know, you want to set this goal because you're like, when I get there, I'm going to feel successful. I'm going to feel confident. I'm going to have checked this on my list. I'm going to feel all of these things. And then perhaps you realize that to even get that promotion, you're sacrificing a lot of things that you value, right? And suddenly even trying to get to that corner office is cutting at your time for take care of yourself, to be there for your family, et cetera, et cetera. So you get there and you're feeling deflated, defeated, and none of the things that you thought attaining that goal would make you feel. Okay? Examples. All right. Now, we're going to get into it. Do you know what we have wrong? We think this is how we plan. We plan, this is the goal because it's going to make me feel this certain way. And we're going to flip that on its head and we're going to do things backwards. And I'm going to ask you, how do you want to feel in your business or in your life? This is where my three words come in, all right, that end up driving the bus for the rest of the path. How do you want to feel? What I want you to do right now is get clear on those positive feeling states that you're after in 2024. Now, I'm going to list a few right now off the top of my mind that you're going to be like, oh, that sounds really different. And they can be very different. Like positive feeling states, we can talk about feeling adventurous, but we can also talk about feeling at ease and at peace. Both of those things are positive, but they're really different. Okay. And so getting clarity around this is really important because it's going to dictate the rest. All right. So how do you want to feel in 2024? How do you want to feel? For me, it was love. It was joy. It was to be more impactful, right? That is where I landed. So maybe it's successful. Maybe it's confident. Maybe you want to feel strong. Maybe you want to feel simplicity in your life or in your business. Maybe you want ease. Maybe you want more joy. Maybe you want love and impact too. Maybe you want to feel fired up. Maybe you want to feel motivated. Like there's no right or wrong. And I'm actually going to link some online documents here, but honestly, you could Google positive feeling states. And I urge you to actually, or go to the one that I've linked in the show notes below and take a look at them. Right? And even highlight the ones that stand out for you. Okay? That's what you're going to do. Step one, how do I freaking want to feel in 2024? All right? And you know what? I'm not saying that you end up landing on your top three overnight because we are going to move there, right? So just highlight any and all the things that you want to feel. So print off the document that I have attached. Write down as many words and positive feeling states that you want to feel. Like there's no wrong way to approach this. Part two, I want you to list important areas of your life, okay? And some common ones might be health and body, finances, relationships, community, your business, your family, okay? I just gave you six examples, definitely ones that I value, right? Important areas of my life. And then you can make a little box, all right? Maybe a box or a chart where there's like, six areas, or maybe it's a circle. Maybe you like doing pies better. All right. And then how do you want to feel in those areas of your life? Right? Like, how do I want to feel in my relationships? How do I want to feel in my body? How do I want to feel in my business? Right? And I want you now to see, is there any overlap? Like, is how I kind of want to move through my business pretty similar to how I want to move through my life or be in my relationships? Right? For me, when I took a look at, you know, brainstorming through these exercises and reflecting for myself, love was across the board. Joy was across the board. Impact was across the board. Like it made sense. If I picked those three words, then I saw how that could positively influence me. If I could cultivate those three feelings, you know, more in my life, I saw how it could positively influence all of the areas of my life that are really important to me. And that's what you're looking for. You're looking to get to your top three. What are your three words of 2024? Listen, if you're finding it overwhelming and you're like, Pam, I've got more than three, there's honestly nothing wrong with that, right? But we don't want you, you know, working with 10 plus words and then you're just going to feel a little bit overwhelmed about what you got to do and who you got to be to get that, you know? So yeah, so you've got your three words now, okay? So now you've moved through the process, you've got your three words. And now what you have to do is the next question is, how do I amplify feeling this way, all right? And then this is the stuff that we can start to measure, right? This is the stuff where like traditional goal setting can help or come in, or traditionally how people set out to achieve certain goals can come in a little bit. So now you've got your three words, you know, and then how do you amplify them? And then under how do I amplify them, there's two ways that you're going to amplify them. One way, you're going to feed these words by things that you're going to do, And then another way is you're going to amplify these feeling states by who you're going to be. Okay. So an example, right, is like, let's say energy. Okay. Say energy is one for you. It's a positive feeling state that you're after. So one of the doing that you have now brainstormed for you to have more energy is moving your body and working out every day. Maybe that's a doing on your to-do list now. Okay. Because you've got your word and you're trying to get honest with yourself and go, okay, I need to do this to feel this. Cool. So then you got to look at, who do I got to be to do that thing? Well, you got to be the person that goes and moves their body, even when you don't feel like it. You know, that might be something that you have to lean into being a little bit more, right? You have to be the person that has thoughts that support you in getting your body and going and moving, you know, if feeling successful, you know, I don't know, let's just use that word. Let's say successful is a word for you and you really have some business goals, right, that you're after this year. And you're like, how do I amplify feeling successful? What do I got to do? And maybe the doing is that you're committing to a certain amount of hours on your business in a certain area of your business every day or every week. Okay. So that's the doing piece of it. And then the being piece of it is that you got to be the person who is going to move through the fear of, if you fail with this undertaking, that it's okay. You've got to become the person that, even if no one understands this business venture, how I want to grow my business, that's okay. Okay. So see how this all breaks down. You got a word, and then you got to figure out what you're going to do. And then you got to figure out who you're going to be to have the thing that you actually really want. Right. And, you know, aside from, and I mentioned it earlier in this episode, because I had to do it, is, yeah, I took a look at what amplifies these words and these feeling states that I want in 2024. But also the next question that you need to ask yourself is, what detracts from you feeling this way and from your three words? What do you need to let go of? And again, you got to do this both for the doing, you know, the behaviors, the things, the action items that you need to perhaps let go of and stop doing, but also the being, you know, what thoughts aren't going to work and aren't going to serve you if you're trying to move through, to move towards these wants. You know, what beliefs don't serve you if you want to move more towards those wants that you're really clear from, right? You got to do both to have what you want. All right. You've got to make the action items around what you got to do. All right. But also who you got to be, because that's the recipe, the do be recipe. You got to do plus be to equal the have. All right. There's a lot of coaches in the industry, and you could probably just Google do be have and you'll read a lot about it, but it's true, right? It's not just in the doing that we get what we want. It's a lot of it's in the becoming. All right. So that's non-negotiably what you have to also lean into if you want to work towards and get what you want in 2024. Okay. Before I get into the next part, that's really important. And actually this next part is really going to help you strategize your dues. All right. You might be sitting here going, Pam, how do I know, you know, what I need to do to feel that certain way? Right. And the truth is that you're going to have to try on some things for size. Right. And again, this goes back to, you know, being a bit vulnerable, right? You're not going to know for sure. Like, let's go back to that health goal. We talked about the person working out every day, right? Because the ultimate feeling is energy. So at first on your to-do list, you know, it's working out every day because that's what's going to give me energy. And maybe you do it for a little bit and you realize, oh, okay, this isn't adding to my energy because I'm working out after a long day, et cetera, and I feel like, you know, this actually isn't making me feel how I want to feel. Like, you're allowed to pivot and get curious about what works for you. And we're totally going to have another podcast episode on my 5 C's because they're really helpful. But one of my C's in terms of navigating this thing called life is curiosity, honestly, using the curiosity lens instead of the judgment lens. And it's going to help you, all right, navigate what you need to do and who you need to be to actually get the feeling that you want, right? Because again, there's no exact recipe, but we talked about this. This is like, getting what you want can be a vulnerable, risky process. So I'm not giving you a one-step plan that if you follow this exact thing, you will have, you know, this, you got to put some skin in the game and you got to do some work here. That's just the non-negotiable. All right. So get curious about the doing and the being. Lots of different ways to approach that. Try it on for size, pivot when you need to. And very importantly, part two, you got to know this and you got to bring this into the equation. And that is your values. Okay. And this is actually going to be getting clear here is going to really help you strategize and really help you with the doing, right? So if you're wondering, like, what do I need to do? Or I would actually argue these help you mold the how. Okay. And what do I mean by that? Okay. So as you set your to-dos, all right, and the actions that you need to take or you feel you need to take so that you can achieve a certain feeling, what you need to ensure is that what you're doing doesn't conflict with your core values. Stay with me here, okay? Because if I make commitments to myself that I think are going to help me make a feel a certain way, but that commitment somehow conflicts with something that I value at my core, I may self-sabotage, I may cop out, I may be completely miserable, and I might struggle in the process, okay? So you got to get clear on what your core values are. And there are tons of assessment tools online. Find one that works for you. I'm going to link one here in the show notes as well. And I want you to get to your three core values. What are the three things that you most value in this life? Okay. And a lot of different exercises online can help you get to those three, and they do it in a lot of different ways. But you got to get clear on that. All right. An example for me, I've done values assessments over and over again. More or less, they've come out the same in the last decade or so. And at my core, the things that I value most, number one, the relationships in my life, my overall wellness, and I actually would argue that mental wellness and more of a holistic wellness is really what I value. Not to say physical isn't important, it definitely is for me, but an overall wellness and making a difference. So somehow making an impact. Like those are my three core values. At my core, those are the things that are most important to me. All right. So if and when I choose to do something that impedes on those and conflicts with those, I struggle. It's like freaking struggle bus. Honestly, it is struggle bus. It is, if I'm going after something I think that I want, but it affects relationships that I value, it affects how I want to make an impact in the world, and it affects my wellness. We will see when, you know, it's going to be soon that Pam either cops out or she's miserable in the whole process. All right. Okay. I'm going to use this example to drive the point home. All right. Is we've got a single mom. One of her core values is a strong relationship with her children. Okay. That is what one of the top three things that she values most in this world. Now, because say, for example, she's done this exercise, all right, and she wants to really feel healthy this year, all right? Health is a feeling that she's after, all right? And so one of her dues is to start working out, okay? So she signs on for a trainer, all right? And she signs on to see this trainer 3 times a week. Awesome. This is looking good so far, right? She wants to feel healthy. Part of the doing is that she is going to train 3 times a week. She's working on her belief systems around movement. She's thinking better thoughts around movement. Like, it's all looking really good, right? But then what do we realize? This single mom and the training hours that her trainer, you know what I mean, that they've decided on, cuts in to often the time that she's sitting helping her child do homework, and where they get to connect before bed every single night. So it's cutting into that time. And weeks go by and she's realizing how sad, you know, she feels without having that time. It's now a quick good night and her growing child is going to bed and she doesn't really know necessarily how his day went or how he's feeling about things. And so it becomes on a Monday that she cancels with her trainer, because it just wants that for that evening. So she doesn't move. She doesn't get her workout in, but, you know, she's giving some attention to her core values. What I'm trying to say here is, you know, maybe the mom, she might cop out. Like, she might stop training. She might get resentful of training. if she's continuing to do something that conflicts with one of her core values. However, this isn't all doom and gloom, because if we know that she really values that relationship with her kid, and now she started working a trainer with those times and realizes that conflicts with something that's really important to her, well, that's pretty good to know. Okay, this is conflicting with my values, and so I need to find a way that works. And maybe she starts booking in her trainer earlier in the day. Maybe she uses her lunchtime, you know, to get in her workouts instead, right? So, I mean, this is an example of someone maybe right off the cuff not realizing how it's going to conflict with their values. But as they move forward and try and achieve, you know what I mean, that feeling thereafter, that health, and, you know, achieve the goals and the workouts that's going to help her get there. It's an example of, you know, how she can now potentially do better and support herself better and live her values at the same time, right? And again, I think I'm highlighting that sometimes we're going to have to get curious if something works or doesn't. But this part, like if we can really, you know, get clear on our core values, so that way when we're sitting down, you know, and deciding what we need to do, right, we can, you know, keep in mind what we value. And is that going to conflict with that, right? Because again, if we choose something like the dues, like if we are doing things that conflict with our core values, we just know the research will say, you know, we'll sabotage, we'll be miserable in the process. That's not what you want, is it? This is all about getting what you want in a way that you actually feel good, you know, in a way that feels in alignment and with your truth. And it's not going to happen if you're choosing things that conflict with your core values. All right. So, and I'm going to actually share a little example here of when I have chosen stuff that conflicts with my core values. All right. So in the course of 11 and a half years now, I have taken on a job or done work for someone else other than my own companies for a total of 15 months. All right. So you can see where my strength and where my preference lies, right? But, and it's not to saying that these jobs were negative experiences, right? But it's bringing back the point that we're talking about today and what I just kind of described. All right. So my example is me, myself, and I right here talking to you, sipping my tea today. When I take on a job for someone else or another company that requires me, you know, to be a Monday 9 to 5 or to do things in a specific way, for me, that negatively impacts often, more often than not, what I value at my core. My relationships in my life, how I want to make a difference, and my overall wellness. Now, not all doom and gloom, because if you're like, Pam, maybe I feel that way too in my current job, so what the heck, right? Bear with me here. But when I've taken on jobs before, it impacts my relationships, because as someone who does want to make an impact in a certain way, outside of the time that I need to dedicate to that job, is me choosing to fill it with my own business work, right? Because it's non-negotiable. It's at my core. It's what I value most, that I need to make an impact in the world in this certain way. So now I got less time in the day to do it. I'm going to do it. So how do that impacts my relationships? Because now I got more less time for them. I'm more gassed, you know, I don't have an ability to be as present for them because now I've taken on a job as well. It impacts the way that I want to make an impact, because the reality is, I mean, jobs come with certain job expectations, and I get that and I respect that. I totally understand. But if I really value at my core making a difference in a way that I want to, that I feel called to in this lifetime, that's going to be really tricky when there's some red tape, right? And when it comes to wellness, the reality is I know myself. I'm a neurodivergent brain. It is what it is. I work really efficiently in small windows of time. I often could get done in 3 hours what it may take someone to get done in 10 hours. And I'm not saying, trust me, there's so many pros and cons to working this way, right? So I'm not tooting my own horn at all, but I can just get really impacted negatively by the structure of a 9 to 5. It just is. So then obviously it impacts my wellness. So there you go. For Pam, taking on a Monday to Friday, 9 to 5, honestly, truly impacts my core values. It just does. It impacts my wellness. It impacts my relationships or how I want to show up in them. And it impacts the impact that I want to make in the world. It just does. Now, this is where I say it's not all doom and gloom here, because I want to give you a perspective shift. If maybe you are in a job that you feel like you're struggling in, or you're just like, okay, Pam, you served up a great example. And I get that, you know, it was a great example in terms of how we can choose things for ourselves that don't conflict with our core values. But what am I supposed to do here? The thing is, you know, when I took on a contract position, it was a 1-year position recently. All right. And I did so intentionally for lots of different reasons while still committed to running my business. I realized pretty quick that the things that I valued at my core were getting impacted. Like I realized it pretty quickly. Do you know what I mean? That the structure of how I was supposed to do things, when I was supposed to do things, and also my desire to really try and make time for relationships and make time for my wellness because I valued them at my core. Like it was struggle bus for me. I'm not going to lie. It was straight up struggle bus. However, I non-negotiably want to still live with like true to my values. And so what I will say is that I really nourished and created amazing quality relationships with people that I worked with at this job position. And still to this day, they are now some of my favorite humans. So quality relationships, the reality is maybe I didn't have as much time or as much capacity for the other ones in my life. But if I was going to spend that much time with these certain people, I wanted to nourish those relationships because that was me being true to my core values, right? When it came to making a difference and making my impact in my own way, I brought ideas to the table. You know, I did a couple things in this position that wasn't a job expectation per se, but how I felt could contribute to the organization and could contribute to the community and would make me feel like I was me, you know, that I was making an impact in a way that felt good for me. And when it comes to my wellness, to be really honest, I had to renegotiate what wellness would be for me during that period of time when I knew that a full-time job plus a business plus launching another business was going to be a lot. You know, what did I need to do to keep well? And to be honest, sometimes it was taking, you know, unpaid leaves or extending weekends to work on my business, you know, or just to give myself some time to be able to work in an environment that fueled me more because I knew myself, right? And so, yeah, I wanted to offer that example up because, well, one, I hope you see how for some of you, you know, especially entrepreneurs listening right now, like maybe you're like, I totally get everything Pam is saying. But I also wanted to just give the example that, you know, it's not the end of the day. You can still make decisions that are driven by your core values and you can still lean into them even if you are in a 9-to-5. Listen, I went off script a little bit because I felt it was necessary. My personal example of living in conflict with my values is sometimes having a job, all right, for me. That might be so far-fetched for you. And so I just more or less veered off a little bit there to say you can still lean into your core values even if, you know, you are committed and decided to commit to your Monday to Friday job. Or the current position that you have right now. So that's just me being me and wanting to bring that into the conversation in this episode a little bit organically, so to speak. So as we're getting close into the end, my friends, and we're just going to do a little recap on how you're going to get what you want this year. Well, you're going to get out of your own way and get really honest with yourself. That's what you're going to do. So you're going to clear some of that space. And instead of naively thinking that once you achieve a list and a host of things that you're going to feel a certain way, you're going to pause and reflect on how you actually want to feel, right? How you actually want to feel. Because then if we can lean into those words, then you can get clear about the doing. Because remember, we did it backwards. We think we do the doing thing and then the doing thing and the achieving thing gets us this feeling thing. No. We're going to get clear on how we really want to feel in our lives and in our freaking businesses. Then we're going to work quote unquote backwards, which isn't actually backwards, but it's a much more propelling way to work, an efficient way to work, and an aligned way to work, right? So you got clear on your feelings. All right, you get freaking clear on those core values of yours, because that's really going to help you with the strategy of how you do things, right? The how, because it's not even what you do might still have to be done. Do you know what I mean? To achieve that want, but how you do it, so with that, it's not in conflict with your values. Like, that is like that where the magic happens, you know, because it's like, you know, think of me, impact. Right? There are things, there's a shit ton of things that I could do to make an impact in the way that I want to make an impact, right? Like, it's like, okay, Pam's clear. She wants to feel impactful this year. How are you going to do it? You know what I mean? You're going to help women with their lives and their businesses, build businesses that they love and lives they want to show up for. Okay, Pam, you're going to do that. Well, I can do that in so many different mediums. Well, what do I really value? And then I can start looking at, okay, what mediums am I going to do it and when am I going to work so that is not in conflict with what I value most, right? And that's what gets me committed to, for example, not recording a podcast episode on Sundays or doing much work on Sundays, because I value quality relationships and that is time that I have aside for family, for the relationships in my life. Just an example of how I'm going to structure the doing of my work and when it's not going to happen because I don't want it to be in conflict with my core values, right? So you're going to do these things. And again, a reminder, my friends, as you're going through the whole process, you are going to use that lens of curiosity. And instead of judging yourself when you committed to doing something and it's not making you feel the way you want to feel, you get curious about how you're going to change it. What are you going to do differently? All right. This isn't like a 1 to 10 step process and you check the boxes and then one box leads to the next box. Like I told you, you got to put skin in the game. All right. If you want to get the thing that you want in the way that feels true to you. Sounds good? And let me know, what are the things? Like, what are your words? Maybe shoot me an email. I'd love to hear what your words are for 2024. So, because honestly, they can really drive the bus. And, you know, just think of having those words in your back pocket every time you have to make a decision about your business, every time you have to make a decision about a commitment, even a social commitment. Like, it's like, is saying yes to that this Friday night going to bring me more joy, more love, you know, more impact for me, right? And yeah, it might not be impact, but it might be joy. And then I'm a heck yes, or maybe it's more love and I'm a heck yes, right? I can negotiate with myself a little bit in a way more true to myself if I know what I'm committed to feeling, you know? And if it's like, nope, Pam, those Saturday plans are not going to bring you joy. They're not going to make you feel love. And they're definitely not going to help you make an impact. Then it could be a heck no, you know? And then I could have quite the clarity that I'm working with here. All right. Before I finish this episode, I want to chat with you entrepreneurs. You maybe potentially want to be entrepreneurs about your wants, because more often than not, they're all pretty similar, or the foundation of what you want is pretty similar or can be. So maybe this ending of this episode might ring true for you, or maybe you just need to hear it. But, you know, this past year, I've worked and mentored individuals everywhere that are either in the startup phase, or they haven't started the business, or they own multi-million dollar companies, all right? And there is one thing that is just a common thread in entrepreneurship with anybody that I've ever worked with, you know, and if we were going back to the theme of this episode, what would be one of their words always, like not even just the word for the season, would be freedom, you know? And that is a reason why often people choose entrepreneurship. And freedom in the sense of, you know, doing things in a way that works for you, making an impact in a way, running your business how you want to run it, freedom to be yourself in the context of your business. Like, people choose entrepreneurship maybe for the no ceiling on the income you can make, the lifestyle you can have, the idea that you want to bring to market. Like, but at the end of the day, there's freedom in all of it, right? Like, it's like, that's often perhaps maybe just a value of that individual or what they want more of their life, just that freedom to make an impact and live their lives and run their businesses in a certain way, right? So, but then I've been one now for 15 years. I've worked with them, entrepreneurs for years on years. And the reality is entrepreneurship in business is not easy. It's extremely risky and vulnerable from everywhere, from an emotional sense to a financial sense. You know, not everyone gets it. I see people that leave the 9-to-5 and instead are now working 24/7. So this notion of freedom is like almost right out the window. You know, I see people that have gone excited. They took the chance, they took the risk, and now they're completely overwhelmed and questioning themselves, right? I've seen it where people have very much grown as people. Like there's been so much personal growth. They've almost outgrown the concept of their business, or their business model just doesn't fit them anymore, right? Like this is all stuff that I see. It's that there's been that want for freedom. And then all of the things that I just mentioned, I see it happen all around me. And I've been in those places as well. Honestly, this leads me right into talking about why I love what I get to, even though I have chosen, but because I feel so fulfilled by it, I feel like it's an opportunity for me always, and just something that's so fulfilling. So that I get to do as in my coaching work with women, help friggin' unlock what is not working and why in the context of your business. And yes, in the context of your life, and then get that much clearer on what is going to work in a way that's aligned with your values. Oh my goodness. Because if there's a better way for you and your fit business, I will damn well help you find it. Like I just absolutely love that work. I've had to do it on myself over and over again for 15 years. You know, I've now done it in my mentorship and coaching role in the last handful of years, you know, and more than likely consistently, you know, over 2 decades in different ways with women. And I know that this episode has been about what you want for yourself for sure, and how to get it, you know, this year in 2024. And I'm honestly going to end this episode and talk to you about something that I want for you and a concept that I came up with in this past year, and that's success without self-sacrifice. That is what I want for you. That is what I want for women in leadership positions. That is what I want for women that are making impact in the world. That is what I want for women entrepreneurs. That is what I want. And what am I talking about? Because, you know, you might hear it at first and think, yeah, what is she talking about? You know, and doesn't Pam know if she's been in the entrepreneur game now for 15 years that there's going to be sacrifices? Yes, yes, she does. That's not what I'm talking about. There's some sacrifices. Yes, of course, when it comes to building your business and building your life and achieving success, right? Like I get that, but this is what I mean. Okay. And this is what I really want for you. First, success without self-sacrifice. Like non-negotiably, you have to define success for you. Like that's number one, that's what you got to do. And you got to do it without the outside noise, because anybody and their dog will serve you up their idea of what success is. So of course there comes a lot of, you know, self-awareness work and personal growth work to really define success as true to you, you know? And yeah, no, I'm not a sucker. I know that there's going to be sacrifices and compromises that you have to make when it comes to building your business, you know, and building a successful life as a woman in a leadership position. But what I'm saying, success without self-sacrifice, is that you're not sacrificing your values. You're not compromising them. You're not compromising on who you are. You're not compromising on your overall well-being so that you can achieve success. That is what I'm saying. Success without self-sacrifice, full stop, right? Is that not only do you get to define it, you do not achieve it by compromising your values and who you are. You actually achieve it by amplifying who you are at your true core, right? And using your values to help you make decisions and achieve that success. That is what I mean by success without self-sacrifice, my friends. All right, so I want that for you. And if you want more of that, you might want to keep listening before I wrap up this episode, because very soon the Limitless Woman Academy is launching. All right. And that's my online business course meets mastermind, because there will be a community component where you meet other women, because non-negotiably, I know that's where so much of the magic happens. But even more importantly, I'm going to say I'm bringing into this business course something that I see missing in so many business courses, so many business courses. And, you know, I've taken so many of the business courses online. So three of the biggest, most popular ones, I've taken them. And I'm going to tell you, there's so much good stuff in them, like amazing stuff in them, you know, to build a friggin' rockin' business. Like there really is. And I learned so much from them. And all these courses, you know what they focus on? They focus on the doing, like we've talked about today, right? The doing, more or less the business strategy, the stuff that you have to do, you know what I mean? To build your business, to build a successful business. And that stuff is freaking awesome. It really is. And it can really help you. But what about the being? What about the life piece? What about who you are and what you value? What about that piece? That piece is missing in courses. And honestly, my friends, that is the stuff that is non-negotiably going to see you through the trying times of entrepreneurship. Really getting to know who you are, what your needs are, how you work best, all of that and so much more, again, is going to help you ride the waves of entrepreneurship. Because if anyone's going to tell you that you can easily become an overnight success by taking a course, they're lying, all right? And I just felt called to pull everything that I know into a course to help you with the business strategy, regardless of where you're on your entrepreneurship journey, but to bring in that non-negotiable piece that I feel is missing from so many online courses. And so I've put that in to the Limitless Woman Academy. It's not only about just the doing, but it's about who we got to be to have that business of our dreams, to have that business that we love. That is what the Limitless Woman Academy is. So if you are a woman and you're feeling overwhelmed and stuck, maybe self-sabotaging, and you're finally ready to feel empowered and fulfilled in your life and in your business, you're going to want to learn more about this. All right. Maybe if you know deep down, there's got to be a better way for you. Maybe you're struggling to focus on your business goals or your life goals and you feel stuck on the hamster wheel. Maybe you're wondering what is the right next move and you're paralyzed by self-doubt. Maybe you're just like, I want to make more impact and income without killing myself. You know, maybe you're just like, I want to work with someone who gets it. You know, if you're any of those things, jump on the wait list for the Limitless Woman Academy, because within days I'm launching it to the wait list. The rest of my community is going to hear about it very soon. If you're on the wait list, you're going to score some sweet bonuses. So get on there. All right. And of course, if that doesn't interest you, my friends, I still have more going on. Jump on that newsletter list. All right, because what we talked about today and more is going to package itself into a freebie that my newsletter list is going to get next week. All right. And also, I've got a free challenge up my sleeve coming up later in January. So your best bet to keep in the know about that would be definitely get on that newsletter list, the Pam Fontes Insiders Club, right? Or start following me on social if you want. I'm not going to lie. I have mixed feelings about social media. So I'm not going to tell you I'm always there every day, but I hang out there. So you can see me there too. But yeah, let's wrap this stuff up because that has been a meaty episode, right? Full of so much good stuff. Some sharing from me, you know, and just a guiding way to help you really get what you want this year. Right? Because it is heartbreaking for me if you're going to chase the things that you don't want. It's heartbreaking for me if you achieve something and then realize you feel like crap or the whole process is blah, you know? So do the work, commit to the work. Please know I'm on the journey with you, right? Like I got my words and you know, we're how many days into the new year? Not many as I'm recording this and I'm still having to circle back. And I'm already having to circle back and maybe renegotiate some of my, how I'm going to do things, you know, and who I've got to be. I got my curiosity lens on and I am committed to those words in 2024. So join me, you know, get clear on those words, share them with me, drop me an email, connect with me online. I would love to hear about your words. I'd love to hear how this episode landed for you. I'd love to hear if it was helpful. And thank you to everyone that I heard from in episode one. It was so great to hear from so many of you that have tuned in, that found the episode helpful, that love the manifesto, which I love obviously too. And yeah, I love hearing from you. I'm really on this platform to serve, to help, and to connect with others. So I'm going to keep making that happen. All right. Stay tuned, because I think I've got one more individual episode coming up. I got some really awesome guests on board that you're going to hear from the remainder of the month. And I'm not going to lie, being on this or using podcasts as a medium, you know, to make an impact is like checking off all the boxes for me so far. So yeah, we're only two episodes in, and just what I want from it, I feel like I'm getting, you know, those feelings that you want. This is really doing it for me, my friend. So I think that's just a reminder, do the work of the stuff that I was telling you about today in this episode. Thank you for tuning in, my friends, on the journey with you as always, and I'll see you next time.